First John, chapter 3. Oh, offering. Offering, money. whatever you put in here goes to our class. Do not tithe to our class, okay? Whatever you put in here goes to our class, and we're getting ready to spend money on the fall program, okay? So we're going to decorate and do some things and give prizes away. So that's what we're getting ready to spend money on. So take this. Pass that around, and it needs to just zigzag all the way until it gets back there with my wife. Okay, 1 John chapter 3, I'm going to start reading at verse 1. Verse 5 is the text verse. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Let's pray, and then we'll get started, all right? Father, thank you for this morning. We need your help now. Thank you for the privilege of getting to learn your word. I pray that, Lord, you'd help me this morning be a blessing to these people, these sweet people. Lord, as we try to live the Christian life, and as we try to obey, please touch our hearts. We need your strength. We need your healing. We need your power. I pray, Holy Spirit of God, please open our eyes, touch our hearts, and change us, please, little by little, for your glory, for your honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, they say the two hardest things in the Christian life start with an F: faith and forgiveness. It's the hardest to trust God when you can come up with your own plan. It's the hardest to trust God when you can't see a way out. Sometimes God brings us to those places. This morning's lesson is on forgiveness. And if you think forgiveness is hard, if you don't think it's hard, you haven't been saved very long, though. I had an instance yesterday, and I was reading my Bible and spending some time with the Lord this morning, and somebody said something yesterday that cut me to the... I mean, it was shocking to me. They didn't yell at me. They didn't do anything, but it hurt so bad. I went to my office, and I sat down, and my spirit was all messed up. And then I remembered, well, big boy, you're teaching on forgiveness tomorrow. We going to hold a grudge, or we going to let it go? Time to practice what we preach, isn't it? And I sat there, and I sat there, well, come on, Mr. Big, you know, big, I almost said big britches. let's put to practice. And then I remember the definition of the word forgive. The word forgive means to send away. Send it away. Have you ever heard somebody say, come on, man, let it go? That's a good term. That's a good definition for forgiveness. I laid my head on my pillow last night, and I had done some study after my family went to bed, and the thought came to me again, and I thought, and I pray for our class, and I always think about what I'm teaching, and I just thought, I would hate to get a teach on forgiveness and have a grudge against somebody. Because if that hadn't gotten fixed yesterday, and watch, that other person, honestly, I don't go to people, you offended me and I forgave you and everything's all right now. You know, I don't do that junk. You know, I've hated you for 10 years and I finally got it right. I don't do that stuff, all right? I mean, I know people, I just felt like I had to confess it. If they don't know, good night. Get it right with the Lord and leave it alone. But I laid my head down on my pillow last night and I just thought, Lord, I really believe it's clear. It's been sent away. I've let it go. And I said, Lord, if it's not you, please show me. Of course, this morning, and as I was studying, I thought it. And I just thought, you know, in that, the Lord's awesome. You know, you teach something, I promise you, he's going to try you on it.
What do you think of that, Greg Nash? And, yeah, put it into practice.
The word forgiven means to take away. To take away the sin. To take away the hurt feelings. To send away the broken fellowship. Send it away. To send away the offense. To send away or completely cancel the act that caused the hurt. That's what the word forgiven means. Yesterday I was so hurt, and I thought, why did I get so upset over that? And the Lord touched my heart about another thing that I'm going to share with you. This is Greg Nash Sin Hour. Okay, let's just put the jelly on the bottom shelf. No, I thought, why did that hurt so bad? That's because the word, that if you think with me just for a second, the word forgive. If you forego something, or if you forbear something, you put up with something. If you forgive, your giving is done before the act ever happened. Isn't that how God forgave you and me? Jesus died before I ever sinned against Him. When was the Lamb slain? Before the foundation of the world, God knew we would sin. Before He created Adam, Jesus died on the cross. Don't ask me to explain it beyond that. I just know the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world. Think with me just for a second. When God forgave us, it was already done. And where I failed, yes, I was wrong again. I'm just kidding. Where I made a mistake at, I thought, I think that really hurt me because I did not have it in my mind that particular person could do anything to me and I would not get upset. The word forgive means before the task or the hurt or the pain or the act comes, you can't do anything to make me stop loving you. And that's the type of relationship that ought to be in between every husband and wife. There's nothing you could do to make me leave you. There's nothing you could do to make me stop loving you. There's nothing you can do that will make me hate you. If you take the word forgiven, okay, and if you think that's not important, how come it says in Colossians, husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. When she doesn't match the billet, because we do what? We live in a world at work where our stuff is just so, right? Things are where they're supposed to be. And then we come home. And watch this. She doesn't see what we experience at work. But we see what she does in the house. It doesn't tell the wife. Now, God doesn't say, wives, make sure you're not bitter against your husband. He does warn the husband, you better not be bitter against your wife. He dwells in his world. I have my office. Don't go in there. You might get bit by something. But at any rate, I have my world. My world is to me, it's organized. I know where stuff is. I come home and watch this. My wife, it's 5:30, 6, sometimes 6:30. My wife's been dealing with the kids for 4 hours. She hasn't had my help. There's going to be some things that every once in a while she gets frustrated over. And watch this. When we got married, she still didn't see my workplace, but I saw every day how she was doing on her new job being a wife. Right? I saw every day how she was able to keep up with her stuff. So watch this. The husband's patience can have a tendency to get a lot thinner than the wife's. Now, I'm speaking at the men here for a minute, but I am trying to say God does warn if you aren't careful and if you don't have an everlasting love and that type of forgiveness towards your spouse, it is the husband who gets angry with the wife far more than the wife who gets angry at the husband. And God says, husbands, you better be careful. That's why every love relationship, every husband and wife ought to be able to say, there's going to be bumps in the road in our marriage. We've got some things. I don't know what the future holds. The two of us can make it together. I'm looking forward to growing old with you. But there's nothing you can do that will make me hate you. There's nothing you can do that will make me leave you. And if you can't say that, then you need to work on your relationship. And I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm not so sure it has anything to do with the other person. It has everything to do with your heart. And you know where I learned that from? God. Doesn't the Bible say you are taught of God to love one another? He's the one that teaches me. He's the one that loved me. He said in Hebrews 13:8, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. In Jeremiah, I've loved thee with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn thee. I learned from God. He's never going to leave me. I learned that type of deep, abiding love from the Savior. He loved me after all I did to Him. So how could I not be? You don't think I've done some things that have upset my wife since we've been married? You don't think she's done some things that have upset me? Yes. I like what one old preacher said. One old preacher said, he said, boy, my wife, he said, boy, she can make me so upset sometimes, I almost need to get resaved. Now, we know that can't happen. I'm just saying, you don't think some disagreements and some hard times are going to come in life? You're crazy. You don't think you're going to butt heads every once in a while? But that forgiveness ought to always be there. And you know where I learned that from? I learned that from the Bible, from God. Forgiveness. God, the Bible says here, let's come back to the lesson here. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. As I thought of forgiveness, I thought of this. There is, first of all, God's forgiveness to you. That's awesome. I mean, it's all through the Bible, in whom we have redemption. Through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. What a verse. We have redemption through His blood. If God forgave me, I'd like to show you a verse. Psalm 103, verse 12. Go there. Look at Psalm 103 and verse 12. Psalm 103 and verse 12. Psalm 103. Beautiful verse. Okay. You could spend literally, there's like 20 verses. We could spend the rest of the hour on God's forgiveness towards you. I want to show you something here. Psalm 103, verse 12. Watch this. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Now, I just love this thought. You can only go north on the earth so far until you're eventually headed south. And you can only go south so far until you're eventually headed north. You can't eternally go north. You can't eternally go south. But you can go west forever and always be going west. And you can go east forever. And God says, as far as the east is from the west, so hath He put our transgressions from us. They're eternally separated from me. I'm so glad. That's a picture of God's forgiveness. That's a picture of God's forgiveness. Let me, you know what? Let's move on to the next point. I get God's forgiveness when I accept Jesus. I think we understand that. Okay, and I want to show you something here in a minute, which is why I'm not stopping at each one of these. When we accept Christ, we get His forgiveness. When you confess your sin, you experience His forgiveness. Go to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1. You're back towards the book of Revelation there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Ready? Here we go. If we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I think that's a wonderful verse to memorize. Let me just read you the opposite of that verse. Are you ready? Jeremiah 7, verse 10. And come to stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. God does not forgive you. One, when you received Christ, the Bible plainly says, all of your sins were put on Jesus' account, and all of His goodness and righteousness was imputed or put under your account. God switched the names or He switched the act. Now, everything you do that's bad is put on Jesus' account. God doesn't see it. Well, if that's the truth, that happened at salvation, the day you got saved. Your slate was wiped clean, and the only thing God sees is His Son when He looks at you. That's called the righteousness of God. Now, wait a second. Why then do I have to confess my sins to get cleansed from all my unrighteousness? Well, it's not to inform God what I did wrong. He already knows what I did wrong. The reason I confess my sins is God's waiting for me to humble myself and say, I did wrong. God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry I thought that thought. I'm sorry I did this. I'm sorry I did this. And God says, then God says, I don't know what you're talking about. God was saying that before you talked, but you felt the guilt and the weight of the sin until you spoke it, until you what? Confessed it, not to a priest, to Jesus Christ Himself. Jesus, I'm sorry. Those are some cleansing words. You receive forgiveness from God. The slate is wiped clean when you accept Him as your Savior. But you don't feel clean as a Christian until you confess. That's why there's supposed to be a time every day where you tell God you're sorry. That's why the Bible says adding sin unto sin unto sin unto sin. You know what that is? That's a backslidden Christian that is so used to not telling God he's sorry. Watch this. You tell God you're sorry tonight for what you did today, you're going to be a little more sensitive about it tomorrow. As long as you're taking time to do that. That's God's forgiveness to you. Okay? Then, there is forgiveness from you to others. Would you turn to Matthew 18? Matthew 18. So there's God's forgiveness to you, and then there's your forgiveness to others. I have always... This story Jesus tells in Matthew 18 has always been a help to me. Okay? Look at verse number, I believe it's 23. Ready? Here we go. It's Matthew 18, 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. In modern day money, we're looking at over $1 million. This guy owes so much money, and with what he's making, he'll never pay it off. Bring him to me. Now watch what happens. For as much as he had not, verse 25, to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children and all that he had, and payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Watch this. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt. He sent it away and he completely canceled it, paid in full. That's a picture of what happened when you and I got saved. I owed Jesus so much because I had sinned against him. The law demanded death. You could have sold my wife, my kids, everything I had, and I still couldn't have paid it. I had no way of paying that debt. And I said, Jesus, please save me. And because I desired him, he took my debt and wiped it clean. He put it on his son. Now, that's a picture of you and me. Watch this. Look at verse 28. But the same servant, the one that was forgiven, went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. I think it's right around, if you do the little research, you know, and I know you can do all types of stuff, right around 14 bucks. $14. Watch this. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Isn't that amazing? But that is the story of us. God forgave us of everything. I mean, I'm clean before my Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ washed me clean. How I can get upset with people, but how could I demand payment when I couldn't pay? And that's what part of the lesson is. What's the basis of the forgiveness of sin? The blood of Jesus Christ. The very fact you were forgiven of all that you forgave. Now you're actually... You are actually going to hate somebody, and it's just going to be an ongoing journey in spite of all that God forgave you of? I understand. We all get hurt feelings. We're all going to have personality conflicts. We're all going to get frustrated every once in a while. But you can't live there. And that's what, let's look at God's attitude towards that. Watch this. Ready? Here we go. Verse number 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. Isn't it sad to watch a Christian hold a grudge against somebody else? Watch, and I'm going to go so far. It's sad to watch somebody hate. To hate another Christian. There are some things you're supposed to hate. Psalm says, oh, how I hate them that transgress the law. I mean, there's some things you're supposed to hate in the Bible, but it is not supposed to be another Christian brother or sister in Christ. Ever. Ever. Ready? Let's keep on going here. They were very sorry and came and told unto their Lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? What a verse. In other words, if you just picture God saying, picture the Savior with nails at his hand, nail scars in his hands going, how could you? I understand it frustrated, but how could you hate someone I saved and forgave also after I forgave you of everything? What a verse. I mean, you sit and meditate on this. This will help you. Watch this. Verse number 34, and his Lord was wroth. I think it makes God angry. And delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. That verse right there. Delivered him unto the tormentors. It's amazing. I like what one man wrote. When I hate somebody else, they're in every bite that I eat, every breath that I take, and they're in everything that I see. And isn't that true? If you will not forgive somebody else, then guess what happens? You are delivered to the tormentors. And guess what? Every day, you'll think of their name. You'll see their face. You meditate on, well, one day when I see them, I'm going to say this. And I'm going to say this. And that's never going to happen again. And you are delivered. There's no victory there as a Christian. There's no joy there as a Christian. There's no enjoyment of being saved. Because guess what? You're focusing on the revenge. Someday I'm getting even. Someday they're going to pay for that son. And you are tormented on the inside until you do what? Forgive or send it away. Forgive or completely cancel the debt. Look at verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That's an awesome story. You ought to take and read that sometime and just think about it. Underline what the Lord touches your heart over. But that helps me. Okay? And yesterday, I got to live it. Amen? God put me to the test. Amen? And shame on me. And you say, well, you should have gotten it right immediately. Okay? It took me about 30 minutes. And I was frustrated. And I didn't want anybody to see me when I was hurt because I was ticked. I was hurt. I was bleeding on the inside and I was going, and somebody knocked on my door. And I really didn't want to answer it because I didn't think I could handle myself right then. And it wasn't their fault, bless their heart. You know what I mean? They're wanting something, something. I couldn't answer it. I just acted like I wasn't in there right then because I didn't want to talk to anybody. And I got it right. And I can truly say this morning, I don't hate anybody. As a matter of fact, there's nobody I wouldn't help. Okay? Let's look at one more verse while we wrap this up. Now, ready? Here we go. For review the lesson this morning. There is God's forgiveness to you. There is your forgiveness to other people. And we looked at that in Matthew chapter 18. Then, I'm going to mention this to you. There is forgiveness from you to God. And if you don't think that that's a real situation, when you go soul winning, how many people have you met that their grandmother died and they're angry at God for that? I've met several. I'm not going to say it's a lot. I've met about three in my life. Well, my grandmother died 5 years ago and I haven't been to church since. Why did God do that? I understand. They're lost. They don't have an eternal thought thinking, I'm going to see her again if she was saved. I understand that. But now let me take that thought and put it in the Christian realm. When something happens that you don't understand and you don't agree with, there has to be your forgiveness towards God. How? He's in control and He knows what He's doing. Because bottom line is, God allowed it. I'm talking about the car wreck. I'm talking about the Down syndrome baby that was born with birth defects. And there are Christians that get bitter and they don't. And they come to the realization, God did this, or God allowed it, let me say. And then they get angry and bitter. I watched a family in the church where I was raised. The baby was born with spinal bifida, and the brain, that's where the brain is born outside the head. Okay? Took like the baby was going to be, was obviously mentally handicapped. And the dad handled it totally the wrong way. Got up in Sunday school to these teenagers that he was a teenage Sunday school teacher. Got up and everybody knew that, the church was rallying and trying to help them, but he handled it totally the wrong way. And he spoke on, God's not sovereign. God's not in control. God wouldn't have done this. Had his baby in there using it as it's on the third surgery. And I'm going, no, you don't understand. You're handling this totally. No, God allowed that. Now, you've got to admit that God is in control and God knew what He was doing. And no, it wasn't your way. And no, it wasn't the way you wanted and the way you ordered. But He is in control. What did Joseph have to do when he's watching himself getting sold into slavery by his brothers? How did he go all those years in Egypt without getting bitter? He had to finally come to the realization, God put me here. God is sovereign. That means He's over all, and God is doing what He knows best. And there are some things that are going to happen to you. You will not get the answer right now. You're going to have to forgive God. Okay? Here we go. Let's go on to the last one. Ready? I'd like you to turn in your book to Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. So there's God's forgiveness to you. There's God. There's your forgiveness to others. Then there's you forgiving God. And then the final one could possibly be the hardest. It's you forgiving yourself. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Hebrews 9, verse 14. Ready? Watch this. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, and this little phrase right here, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Do you know why Christians don't get involved, and why there are some Christians, I have no doubt in my mind, they don't get involved in church. They don't go soul winning. They do not take a step forward for God to do what God's touching their heart about in a church service. It's not the only reason, but one of the reasons is that their conscience is hurt over their past. Well, I've heard it and I understand that. I'm not worthy to serve God. I've failed God so many times. God can't use me. It's no use. Everybody else can be a good Christian, but me, I can't go forward. And the Bible says it's the blood of Jesus. When you realize you were forgiven, God doesn't see the wrong anymore. It was put on Jesus' slate. Now the question comes, Christian, can you forgive yourself? You just got to know how bad I lived. You just got to know how this haunts me. You just got to know, Christian, can you take that verse and realize that you're clean as a newborn baby before Jesus Christ because of His blood that He shed for you on the cross? And no, you're not. I'm not worthy to stand up here. I'm not. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. It's amazing the things my hands used to do, and now I can hold a Bible, and I get to stand in front of a Sunday school class and teach the Word of God. I'm going to go lead some songs. And no, I'm not worthy. But what keeps you moving forward? It's the blood of Christ cleanses me. And I can serve God because I allow it to purge my conscience. And my failures do not keep me from going forward. I got a whole list of failures. I mean, we could have like 10 Sunday school lessons on them. I mean, a 10-part series on all Brother Nash's failures. And I think, like, we could yours. So we pick ourselves up. A just man falleth seven times. Rises again. And we keep moving forward. So there's God's forgiveness to you. There's your forgiveness to others. There's your forgiveness to God. And then I don't mind saying this. I think possibly the thing that could be the hardest is you forgiving yourself. How do you think Peter had to live with after denying the Lord? It took Jesus coming to him personally after he went out and wept bitterly. Because he quit the ministry. He said, I go fishing. It took a personal visit from Jesus to get Peter back in the swing again. Sometimes that's what we need. I hope this lesson's been a help to you, and I hope it pointed out some things and give you some things for the week to help you. Forgiveness, awesome doctrine, and I hope this is a help. Let's pray. Father, please help us now this morning. And Lord Jesus, I thank you so much for your forgiveness. I thank you for your precious blood that you shed for us on the cross. I thank you that, Lord, we can come into your presence. I pray that you would bless. I pray that you would help these couples. I pray that you'd help their home, Lord, as we deal with our children. As we deal with each other, Lord, please help us to never hold a grudge. Help us not to hate. Lord, bless our man of God now. Touch our hearts with what you've given him for us. We need you this morning, and we just want your help. In Jesus' name, amen. God. Bless each one.